friend, a most loving pronounce at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Sai Prakash here. We are in the fourth discourse of the 1991 Summer Course series. And I don't know about you listeners, but definitely for both of us, it is already a very, very fruitful journey. We are learning a lot of new things, a lot of new perspectives, and so very glad to learn it from Swami himself. As I just mentioned, we started the fourth discourse last week. And this discourse is on the Ishavasi Upanishad. The title of the discourse itself suggests what Swami is going to be speaking about in this discourse. The main focus is going to be about renunciation and pleasure. But before we could discuss about what Swami mentioned in the last week and what we're going to speak about this week, let me invite Sai Prakash to join me. Saram Sai Prakash.
Saram Prem. Yes, this is the fourth discourse in the series, and as you rightly said, we have already overwhelmed with a lot of insight. And, you know, there was a trepidation about taking up this topic of the Upanishads. And at one point in time, I was thinking, we don't even know the U of Upanishads. And what are we going to discuss on the Upanishads? But here we have the essence of Upanishad, of each Upanishad as we see it in this discourse. Really speaking, there is nothing that is so difficult. Swami has simplified it so much for us and given it to us in a way which we can actually easily understand and absorb.
Right. I think it also comes from the basic training, you know, because at the end of the day, we've been fed with the truth that God is within you.
Right.
The ultimate is within you. I'm reminded of what Brother Raghu used to share with us, you know, mm-hmm. when he was in the hospital.
Okay.
Apparently, he was in a missionary hospital.
Okay.
Where one or two people would try to come and talk to him about Christianity, mm-hmm. and tell him how it is very important that all of us follow the gospel and things like that.
Okay.
And he was telling the approach that he had when this person was talking to him is, yeah, I mean, I can totally agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, Jesus is God, because after all, Swami says you and I are God.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because he was saying that for him it was so obvious, but for the other person, you know, he was going on trying to convince. I think the very idea that you've been brought up with this belief that, you know, at the end of the day, your journey is going to end within. At the end of the day, whatever you're going to discover is going to be within. That is the essence of the Upanishads. And I think that crux Swami has already given us, and in many beautiful ways. I think the last series when we spoke about so many episodes where students eventually did not have any problem in accepting that Swami they were seeing in front of them as that same Swami who is within them.
Very true, yeah. Very true. In fact, that's what, when they say that every word of his is the Vedam or Upanishad, and when he's casually making a statement, when he's just amongst us and playfully makes a statement, suddenly we are reminded of that truth. In fact, in one of the Thrayi sessions, I think I have told this earlier, but nevertheless, okay. Swami is calling up some of the bhajan boys. You know, and Swami is telling them, what is that bhajan you are singing today? And that boy says this thing, what is that Rama bhajan?
Shyamala Komala.
He says,
Rama Rama Jai Raja
Rama. No, it is Raghupate Raghava Raja Rama. Then he says, so he corrects that bhajan. Then he asks, what is that Ganesha bhajan? Vigna Vinashaka. It's not Vigna, it's Vigna Vinashaka. So he was making some of those corrections, and then he said, you know, everybody was laughing and everybody was very happy the way Swami was pulling up one person. He says, what do you boys think? You think I sit on the chair and then move my hand and close my eyes? You think Swami is not attentive? Swami is not listening to what I'm singing? Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. The moment he says that, there is pin drop silence. There is so much energy. Who can say that? He says, no sir, I have eyes, nose, ears, everywhere, all around. Then he shows his hair and he says, see, everywhere I have my eyes, my ears, my nose. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasraksha Sahasrava, everywhere I am seeing everything, I know everything. You think Swami is just putting talam and closing his eyes and Swami is in his own world, we are in our own world. Swami says, no. So suddenly, you know, that Upanishadic truth, which, you know, we hear in discourses, and when it comes suddenly like that in a conversation, then you're just startled and taken aback. Okay.
Very true. In fact, recently we had uploaded an interview of Brother Mohanta, who works in the hospital.
Right.
He was sharing about this incident when he was a student. I hope I get the details right. He had a letter with him and he was sitting in the darshan. He wanted to give it to Swami. And Swami comes up to him, probably a few feet away from him, stands at him, looks at him, looks at this letter in his hand. And then Swami starts telling something. He's standing there. So he thought probably Swami is telling him something, asking for the letter or something. So he leaned forward. And to his utter shock, Swami was standing there and repeating what he had written in that letter, word to word. Swami was reading out the letter, just as he had written it. He was shocked. He said, what is this? You know, from the first word to the last word, Swami is reading out. And then with a twinkle in his eye, you know, and smile, Swami said, I'm within you.
Right.
I think that was the beauty, because even when Swami was doing these things, you never saw it as somebody who's showing off his omniscience or anything like that. Swami said, I know it because I'm in you. I know it because I know it the moment the thought arises. It's not like I have to stand there and read your thoughts or, you know, make an effort to do that.
You know, another thing I was just thinking, lot of devotees and students and all of us, we share our experiences. People say always experience. What have been your experiences? So we all share, this has been my experience, this is what Swami told me, this is what Swami did, this, that, all that. That's all fine and nice, you know, to a certain extent. Now just imagine, for example, when Swami says Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapad, that moment when Swami uttered that truth, we are so happy and we are so amazed and awestricken. But if we are in that experience all the time, see, that's what Swami wants us to grow to. It's not exclusiveness that gives importance to an experience. It's all inclusiveness. I mean, we have to, so the moment somebody starts narrating an experience where Swami comes and gives him attention, gives a person attention, and then, you know, there are ripples and people start, oh, if only I was there, if I had that. But what we miss out in the process is, he is always there. And yes, it is not easy. You know, although we may speak that, it was like spoon feeding when Swami was right in front of us in the physical form. But I think, even now, if we take that one step, he is always there to give you that actual experience of feeling him all the time everywhere.
Very true, because, you know, even as you're saying this, I think listeners will be able to relate that when you stay physically with Swami, as you're saying, these are probably what we call wow moments.
Right.
But most of the time Swami will come and ask you, boy, where are you from?
Right.
Or, you know, what is your name? Things which suggest that probably Swami is trying to find out information from you.
Correct.
That is why actually these incidents stand out. So it becomes all the more exercise that each of us had to do to hold on to those moments and make that, you know, your continuum of your understanding of Swami.
So as you were rightly saying, suppose, you know, for example, there have been a couple of incidents in my life when I've thought something and Swami has immediately reacted to it.
Right.
And then there have been times where Swami has asked me, where are you from? What is your name? So does Swami know or doesn't he know? If he knows, then why is he doing this? These are the, you know, repercussions of the mind. And the mind is always active in trying to catch this logic, that logic. And so, you know, we get caught up in these thoughts and counter thoughts and all that. The point is, he's beyond the mind. He's beyond logic. He's beyond our understanding. We can only love him. Have complete faith and have complete love. In fact, you know, very strangely, as I was just flipping through these pages in this conversations with Sai Baba,
mm-hmm.
Swami says, the most subtle aspect of Swami's teaching is love. He says that here. Mm-hmm. He's talking to Dr. John Hislop. And he says, what are the subtle aspects? He says, the most subtle aspect is love. He says, yes, you may do all the practices, you may do all the things, but if there is no love, everything falls apart. If you have love, you need not do anything else. That's all it is. So, you know, all these experiences that Swami has given his students, his devotees, are to guide us along a path where we have that experience all the time. You know, coming back to this particular discourse where he says Tyaga and Bhoga, he says give up the expectations of the fruit of actions. That is the Tyaga that Swami is talking about. Thinking of it that way, even if we try to connect with Swami, now so for example, I am sitting and I am doing Namasmarna, I am saying Sairam, Sairam, Om Shri Sairam, Om Shri Sairam, I am doing Namasmarna. And if my mind is saying, oh my God, why am I not able to connect to Swami? Why am I not able to connect to Swami? Okay, so that is the fruit of action. You are trying to get the fruit of action. So your duty is to just chant his name and live in that moment. When he has to give his grace, when you have to feel the connect is in his hands. I think it applies very much even to spiritual field.
Absolutely. In fact, it reminds me of once what happened, you know, when I was sitting in Mandir.
Mm-hmm.
I just wrote a little story. It's not like really a story. It's probably four lines of a concept.
Mm-hmm.
There is a man who is waiting for rain.
Okay.
Okay. He's in a drought-ridden area, like many places in our country today,
mm-hmm.
really having a bad situation. Let's say a man who is in a drought-ridden situation. So he's sitting there and he's praying and praying and praying that, you know, one day it should rain. Okay, and finally one day it rains. It rains, there is a flow of water and the water flows away. Okay, and then that man thinks, yeah, when I sat here and waited for rain, I could have probably dug a well.
Mm.
Okay, then I would have been in a position to utilize when that rain came. So I had written this and I had written that, you know, that digging the well is only the sadhana.
Right.
The rain coming is the grace. You know, whenever Swami's grace comes, it comes.
Right.
But if you keep digging the well, then you will be able to, you know, make use of the grace when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had written this and I thought it's a nice thought. Mm-hmm. It just came to me like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a day or two later, when I read a Swami's discourse, it was a very beautiful thought which kind of squashed this whole idea off. Because there in that discourse, Swami is telling, sadhana can never be done with a profit which comes in the future in mind. Sadhana should be done always for that moment. If you're doing Namasmarna, you do it because that moment it gives you joy.
That's it.
That's all it is. You can't say that I'll do Namasmarna now so that tomorrow when I have a problem, it'll come and rescue me.
Right.
Then it's not sadhana. Mm.
How subtle this point is.
How really subtle it is.
Yeah, because, you know, we are always looking for fruits of actions. Yes, in the worldly field, we do something, we want to succeed, we want to, that is common. But it is more dangerous in the spiritual field, because the very idea of trying to do a spiritual practice is we should not expect the result.
Right.
So in, you know, in that sense, when some people come and say, I did tapas for 12 years and I am able to walk on water, or I am able to create fire with just blowing. I mean, these are siddhis, that these are powers that you acquire. So all your sadhana was done with keeping this in mind. I mean, if you can produce fire after 12 years of sadhana, all it takes is 2 seconds of striking the match box.
Right. I think that's the main reason. In fact, if you look at it now, when we look back, I remember so many occasions when there would be some students who would do some silent things in the hostel.
Very true.
You know, silently they'll probably go and clean the altar.
Yes.
Nobody will know. They will do it early in the morning.
Mm.
Or, you know, there were a couple of boys who used to be very active in the kitchen.
Right.
They used to work so hard in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I remember one occasion when apparently in Trai, Swami materialized a ring or asked a question. It's happened 2-3 times. So I don't know which exactly was this. One time Swami materialized a ring and Swami said, I'm going to pass it around to the students. Each of you can try it on. To whomsoever it's a perfect fit, that boy can keep it for himself.
Okay.
Okay, and it was a fit for a couple of boys, you know. Mm. You could probably say it's fitting. So some of the boys said, Swami, it's fitting. Mm. Swami said, no, it's low, pass it on. So finally one boy said, Swami, it fits me. Okay, and Swami said, okay, keep it.
Mm.
So immediately the warden took the opportunity and he said, Swami is a very good boy. He does a lot of work in the hostel, takes care of the kitchen.
Mm.
And Swami said, why else do you think I gave it to him?
Beautiful.
Mm. See, when that boy did, probably he never thought that one day he's going to be rewarded. You know, it was just an expression of his devotion to Swami, doing something in the hostel. But Swami would always reward it. And I think it's also a pattern, you would see it with many people in the ashram. You know, they would start a routine or start a sadhana. Initially, there will be a lot of response from Swami, and Swami will come and say, good.
Mm.
Then you will see Swami slowly withdrawing from them to allow them to do it in spite of no reward coming forth, you know, in a real time.
Mm.
Just for the same reason, because sadhana has to be done for the sake of sadhana, not with anything in the future in mind.
In fact, this Swami Muktananda, who has written this book Chidvilas Shakti, and in which he very beautifully describes all his spiritual experiences of the Kundalini rising up and him having a lot of mystic experiences. Yes, it all sounds very euphoric and, you know, out of this world kind of experiences. But what struck me most in that entire book is he says, when I saw my guru, I just loved him. I gave myself completely to him. I was so much in love with him. I wanted to just see him. I wanted to speak to him. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to, you know, just be around with him. I had no idea of what was going on. And then the most amazing part he says is, only one thing I did, that was to love him. And automatically the mudra started happening.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I never did Kriya Yoga, I never went and did meditation, this mudra, that asana, this breath control, this sign and this mudra, all these things he never did. He never learnt anything. He said he just loved his guru, and automatically after that Sambhavi mudra happened, that Kichaka mudra, whatever one, those names are there, I'm not very familiar. But he says after those mudras happened to him, he found out that these are standard mudras. So it was his love for his guru, and then things automatically started happening to him. That was something which was amazing.
And no wonder that every discourse Swami ends with, you know, love. So many discourses, the other day also, we were going through a few discourses. Swami is entirely speaking about, spirituality in that. Very, very intense esoteric concepts.
Mm.
But towards the end, Swami is saying that at the end of the day, you should have purity of your mind, which expresses itself as love for everybody.
Love for him. You know, in this discourse, Swami starts with saying that, yes, ekam sat vipra bhavada vadanti. Everything, in fact, there is unity inherent in everything that we see. Then he says, he goes on the next paragraph, to speech and the power of truth.
Right.
And in what way should truth be... See, he says that this is the truth. The truth that there is God in everything. That is the ultimate truth. Then he goes on to how should we speak when we speak the truth. How should we speak the truth? And very beautifully again Swami says that yes, you should speak the truth. You should not speak the untruth. At the same time, you should not speak truth which is harsh. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, nab bruyat, satyam apriyam. Don't speak the truth which is not pleasing. So speak the truth which is pleasing, or speak the truth in a way which is pleasing.
Right. I think then Swami comes to that part where he speaks. I mean, this part where Swami speaks about how you don't call a blind man a blind man.
Right.
When you see a lame person, you don't address him or accost him saying that a lame one.
Mm.
These are things which we already practice, you know, we do practice in day-to-day life. Swami is saying that this is what it is.
Mm.
And probably our expression of this understanding stops at some places, because in some of our understandings we speak so much about fact, we are so interested in fact whenever we speak about it. I mean, even the day-to-day things which happen, let's say there's some scam which is going on.
Mm.
At the end of the day, you never know what the reality is.
Very true.
You know,
it's true.
Finally, it's all perception. What you think about it, what I think about it.
Correct.
So the fact is really lost. I think that is what it is. At the end of the day, facts are, you know, are the first casualty. So Swami is saying it's not important because the truth is much higher than the facts, because that level of truth is also important. But you don't get lost in that you don't see the ultimate truth,
right,
which is actually based on goodness and love, as you said. You know?
Right. And then Swami comes to the Ishavasya Upanishad and how from the origin of Shukla Yajurveda, how it is derived from Shukla Yajurveda. And then he gives, that begins at the 40th chapter where the Jnana Yoga starts, and that is where the Ishavasya Upanishad begins.
Right.
And then the first concept he takes up is, you know, renunciation and Tyaga and Bhoga. And he says, only when you renounce the fruit of your actions can you enjoy the actual Bhoga or pleasure. Otherwise, the kind of pleasure that you enjoy is temporary.
Right.
Is temporary. So every action that you do, you get the, you know, pleasure or bhoga. But he said the true bhoga you get only when you give up the fruits of your actions.
Right. In fact, I think beginning of the discourse, Swami starts with this thing of, you know, creation emerges from truth.
Mm.
That is, in fact, very similar to the first verse of Ishavasya Upanishad.
Correct.
Saying that, you know, the Lord is... the whole creation is contained in the Lord.
Mm.
That all that you see is the Lord.
Mm.
In fact, there the second sentence is that. So when you use the universe, when you use the objects of the world, use it with the feeling that, you know, you're just a trustee.
Mm.
And, you know, that is where Swami is speaking about the pleasure of using it. At the same time, use it with a detachment, saying that it is not mine, and with that sense of responsibility which comes with that.
Correct.
And, of course, that is that part we stopped in last time where Swami is talking about bhoga and tyaga.
Right.
And Swami says that at the end of it, it is performing actions without ego.
Mm.
And then you experience the world without attachment.
Right.
And no distinction remains between pleasure and renunciation. And I think it again comes to that, you know, when we spoke about, when we speak about sadhana, we are saying that find the joy in the sadhana itself.
So you were mentioning about that explanation which Swami gave about Maya.
Right.
And, see, ego and Maya. Ego is what breeds Maya and Maya is what breeds ego. And maybe you should share that explanation.
Right.
It's the shadow.
Right. Swami says, what is Maya? It's in conversations again.
Yes, you know, it's with, in conversations with Sai Baba.
Right, when Hislop asks Swami, what is Maya?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the way Swami started off. Swami said, Maya is your imagination.
Mm.
How it is correct literally, at the same time, it is the, you know, explanation of Maya.
Right.
Says, what is Maya? Maya is your imagination.
Mm.
And then Swami says, you know, what causes Maya?
Mm-hmm.
Your existence causes Maya. So Swami saying, there is the sun.
Mm.
The shadow is not related to the sun.
Right.
But an object which stands in the way of the sun's rays creates the shadow.
Shadow.
Hmm. So Swami says that, you know, God's creation, there is no Maya. But your existence causes that Maya. So you are the source of that Maya.
How amazing. So basically, if you dissolve yourself, that is, if you dissolve your ego, then there's nothing that is casting the shadow.
Right.
Then there is light all through. Right. I think that is what... finally it comes to. So I think we can go to the next.
Yes, we'll go to the next clip. We played two clips, so this will be the third clip in that discourse.
Yoga manaka
yemiti. What do you mean by bhoga?
Yoga.
Yoga.
Kanuka yoga manaka manamu aneka sadhana cheta praptinchukunnatunti yokka krodikarinchukunnatunti yokka దివ్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క సంపుటి.
యోగా ఇస్ ది రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ సో మెనీ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ అండర్ టేకెన్ అండ్ ద డివినిటీ బికాస్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ కోఆర్డినేటెడ్ ఎఫర్ట్.
భగవద్గీత యందు యోగక్షేమం వహామ్యహం, ఈ యోగక్షేమములను నేను చూసుకుంటానన్నాడు.
In Bhagavad Gita it is said that God will take care of this yoga and kshema.
Yoga kshemamulaga praptamainatundi yokka drishtilo manavu vicharana chesinappudu mana kshema samacharamlu mana illu vakali aalu biddala yokka paristhitulanu prashninchukovatam anukuntunnam.
The yoga kshema as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, when we take it in the ordinary sense, we mean our welfare of the family, the wife and the children.
Ee praptamainatundi vicharanaku యోగం అనేటువంటి యొక్క పేరు సార్థకం కాదు.
ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ రియల్ యోగా వెన్ వీ టేక్ ఇట్ ఫ్రమ్ ది వరల్డ్లీ పాయింట్.
మానవుడై పుట్టి మానవాతీతమైనటువంటి దివ్యత్వాన్ని అనేక సాధనల చేత సాధించి దానిని పొందినటువంటి యొక్క పవిత్రమైనటువంటి స్థితికి యోగము అని పేరు.
హావింగ్ బీన్ బోర్న్ ఎస్ ఎ మ్యాన్ అండర్ టేకింగ్ సో మెనీ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ ఫైనల్ అయితేని divinity is called yoga.
Anaga apraptamain pinti yokka divyatvanni praptinchukonatame yogam.
That divinity which is rather difficult to attain, to accomplish that is yoga.
Idi agotiramain pinti yokka divyamain tattvanni gotirimpa chesukotame yogam.
That divinity which is not apparent, to have it in your daily experience is yoga.
Kevalamu oka vidhamain pinti divyatvanto koodi కంటికి కనిపించక, చెవులకు వినిపించక, మనసుకు అనిపించక, హృదయాన్ని కరిగించక, దివ్యమైన స్థాయిలో ఉండేటువంటి యొక్క తత్వాన్ని అనుభూతికి తెప్పించుకోవటమే యోగము.
ద యోగా మీన్స్ టు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దాట్ విచ్ యూ కెనాట్ సీ విత్ యువర్ నేకెడ్ ఐ, విచ్ యూ కెనాట్ లిసన్ విత్ యువర్ ఇయర్, విచ్ యూ కెనాట్ కాంప్రిహెండ్ విత్ యువర్ మైండ్.
అవ్యక్తమై గూఢముగా ఉన్నటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యతత్వాన్ని వ్యక్తీకరింపచేసుకోవటమే యోగము.
ద యోగా మీన్స్ ద హిడెన్ నాన్ అపారెంట్ divinity is brought to the daily experience and made apparent.
Atti sarva sadhana cheta sadhinchinatvanti yokka divyamaina yogaanni rakshinchukotame kshemam.
Dakshema means to preserve such yoga which is attained because of practice.
Kariga yoga kshemam anaga manavaatitamainatvanti yokka divyatvanni sampadinchukotamu, aa sampadinchukunnatvanti yokka divyatvanni kaapadukotame yoga kshemam yokka antaraarthamu.
Yoga kshema means to accomplish that divinity and to preserve it thereafter.
Ee yoga kshemamuto koodinatvanti yokka divyatvannike tyagamuto koodinatvanti bhogam ani kuda nu cheppavachchu.
That which has got these two aspects, the yoga and kshema, we can call it the sacrifice.
Kanuka tyagamuto koodinatvanti yogamu manavatvaniki atyanta avasaram.
The yoga coupled with tyaga is most essential for humanity.
Itti tyagamulaku purukunnatvanti manavattamulone divyattamainatvanti vyaktitvamu aavirbhavistundi.
The one having the sacrifice, there is possibility of the divinity to express itself in humanity.
Kaana manavudu upanishat vakshamulanu kevalamu tunikarinchaka divyamainatvanti yokka bhavam cheta danini krodikarimpa chesukoni దాని నిత్యాచరణలో ఉంచుకోవటము తగినటువంటి కృషి చేయాలి.
మ్యాన్ షుడ్ నెవర్ నెగ్లెక్ట్ ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ డిక్లేర్డ్ బై ఉపనిషత్స్. హీ షుడ్ కోఆర్డినేట్ అండ్ ఇంటిగ్రేట్ హిస్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ అండ్ రియలైజ్ ద డివినిటీ.
మానవుడు కేవలము శారీర మనస్సు ఆధ్యాత్మిక తత్వముతోనే మాత్రమే కూడినటువంటి వాడు కాదు.
మ్యాన్ ఇస్ నాట్ నియర్లీ ద కంపోజిషన్ ఆఫ్ స్పిరిచువల్ అండ్ ఫిజికల్ కంటెంట్స్ అలోన్.
ఇతనికి అతీతమైనటువంటి ప్రజ్ఞాశక్తి కూడా ఉంటున్నది.
He has got this transcendental prajna power.
Constant integrated awareness.
That is constant integrated awareness.
Idi ni prajna annaru.
This is called prajna.
Ee prajnana shakti ni prati manavudu kulanu darini drishti andinchukovali.
Man should keep in view this constant integrated awareness.
Idi manasu nandunu shariram nandunu antakkarani nandunu anniti andukunu sarvavyapakamai untundadi.
This pervades all over the body, the mind and antakarana senses.
Antakarana anaga emiti?
What do you mean by antakarana?
Ikkade manaku tyagamto kodinatvanti yogam manaku praptistundi.
Here alone we can have this yoga out of tyaga.
Antakarana anaga manasu, buddhi, chittamu, ahankaramu ee naligintu yokka sammilitamaina swaroopanni antakarana antunnaru.
Antakarana means the mind, intellect, chittamu and ahankaramu, ego.
ఇక్కడ మనస్సు అనగా ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈజ్ మీన్ బై మైండ్?
మనస్సు అనగా నిరంతరము చింతించుకోవటమే మనస్సు.
మైండ్ మెంట్ థింకింగ్ ఫర్వెంట్లీ.
సంకల్ప వికల్పాత్మకం మనః అన్నారు.
మైండ్ మెంట్ థాట్స్
సంకల్ప వికల్పాలతో కూడి ఉంటుంటుంది.
ఇట్స్ ఎ మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ బండిల్ ఆఫ్ థాట్స్.
ఇది ఒక వస్త్రము.
ఇట్స్ ఎ క్లాత్.
ఈ వస్త్రములకు పడుగు పేక అనగా నిలువు అడ్డం అనేటువంటి దారములు చేరి ఉంటున్నాయి.
ఇట్ హాస్ గాట్ యాన్ వర్టికల్లీ అండ్ హారిజంటల్లీ స్ప్రెడ్.
ఇది సంకల్ప వికల్పాత్మకమైనటువంటిది.
దిస్ ఇస్ ఎ మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ థాట్స్.
మనం ఒకవైపు ఉన్నటువంటి దారములు తీసివేస్తూ వస్తే బట్టనే లేదు.
వెన్ వన్స్ యూ స్టార్ట్ రిమూవింగ్ థ్రెడ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ సైడ్ యూ డోంట్ ఫైండ్ క్లాత్ ఎనీ లాంగర్.
అదే విధముగా ఈ సంకల్పం ఉన్నటువంటి దారములు మనం తీసివేస్తూ వస్తే మనస్సు అనేటువంటి స్వరూపమే ఉండదు.
వెన్ ద యాన్ ఆఫ్ థ్రెడ్స్ ఆర్ రిమూవ్ యూ డోంట్ ఫైండ్ ఎనీ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్.
దీనినే మనరత్రాణ సమ్మిళితం అన్నారు.
దిస్ అమౌంట్స్ టు రికాపిచ్యులేషన్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ ఓవర్ అండ్ అగైన్.
కనుక ఈ సంకల్పముల చేతనే మనత్రాణ శక్తిని మనలో మనం పెంచుకుంటున్నాం.
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది థాట్స్ అండ్ రికాపిచ్యులేషన్ వీఆర్ డెవలపింగ్ అవర్ మైండ్.
కనుక ఈ మనస్సు అనేటువంటిది సంకల్పంతో కూడినటువంటి స్వరూపము.
ద మైండ్ ఈజ్ ద వెరీ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ థాట్స్.
చిత్తము అనగా చింతించటమే చిత్తము.
చిత్తము మీన్స్ ది ఫీలింగ్ థింకింగ్.
తద్భావాన్ని మనం చింతించటము.
వీ థింక్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఫీలింగ్.
బుద్ధి అనగా నిర్ణయాత్మక శక్తి.
బుద్ధి ఆర్ ఇంటెలెక్ట్ మీన్స్ డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ పవర్.
డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ నాలెడ్జ్. ఈ యొక్క నిత్యానిత్య విషయ పరిశీలన చేసేటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యమైనటువంటి తెలివి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ది డివైన్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ విచ్ మేక్స్ అస్ టు డిస్క్రిమినేట్ దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ బిట్వీన్
అహంకారము.
దెన్ ది అహంకార
అహంకారం అనగా ఆకారమునే పురస్కరించుకుని నేను అని భావించుకోవటమే అహంకారం.
ఈగో మీన్స్ టేక్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ విత్ ద బాడీ అండ్ కన్సిడరింగ్ దట్
ఆకారమే నేననుకోవటమే అహంకారం.
టేకింగ్ ద బాడీ అండ్ టేకింగ్ ఇట్ యాజ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ ఫార్మ్ ఈగో.
ఆకారం ఇది అహంకారం.
ది అహం ఈగో టేక్స్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆర్ ఆకార దట్ ఈస్ అహంకార.
కనుకనే మనస్సు బుద్ధి చిత్తము ఇంద్రియ అహంకారము ఈ నాలుగు కూడా మనస్సు యొక్క వికార స్వరూపములే.
దేర్ఫోర్ దీస్ ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ ద మనస్సు బుద్ధి చిత్తము అహంకారం.
మనస్సు ఇన్ని రూపంలో ధరిస్తూ ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇస్ ద మైండ్ దట్ అస్యూమ్స్ వేరియస్ ఫార్మ్స్.
మనసుకి ఇన్ని పేర్లు కూడా సంభవిస్తూ వస్తున్నాయి.
ద సేమ్ మైండ్ హ్యాస్ సో మెనీ అదర్ నేమ్స్.
ఒకే బ్రాహ్మణుడు వంట చేస్తుంటే వంట బ్రాహ్మణుడు అంటాం.
ద సేమ్ బ్రాహ్మణ్ వెన్ ఈస్ ఎ కుక్
అదే బ్రాహ్మణుడు పూజ చేస్తుంటే పూజారి బ్రాహ్మణుడు అంటాం.
వెన్ హి ఆఫర్స్ వర్షిప్ ఈస్ ఎ ప్రీస్ట్.
అదే బ్రాహ్మణుడే టీచ్ చేస్తుంటే టీచర్ బ్రాహ్మణుడు అంటాం.
ద సేమ్ బ్రాహ్మణ్ వెన్ హి స్టార్ట్స్ టీచింగ్ హిస్
టీచర్. అదే బ్రాహ్మణుడు పంచాంగం చెప్తుంటే పంచాంగ బ్రాహ్మణుడు అంటాం.
వెన్ హి స్టార్ట్స్ రిపీటింగ్ పంచాంగం వి కాల్ హిమ్
బ్రాహ్మణుడు. ఒక్కడే
బట్ ఇస్ బ్రాహ్మణ్
అయినప్పటికీ తన యొక్క వృత్తిని పురస్కరించుకుని అతనికి పేర్లు వేరు వేరుగా వస్తుంటాయి.
బట్ బేసింగ్ ఆన్ ద జాబ్ హి అండర్టేక్స్ హి అస్యూమ్స్ సెవెరల్ నేమ్స్.
కనుకనే మనస్సు అనేక వృత్తులతో కూడినప్పుడు దీనికే బుద్ధి దీనికే చిత్తము దీనికే అహంకారము దీనికే మనస్సు అని పేరు వస్తుంటున్నాయి.
వెన్ మైండ్ అండర్టేక్ సో మెనీ రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీస్ అండ్ డ్యూటీస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ మనస్సు బుద్ధి చిత్తము అండ్ అహంకారం.
కనుక ఇవన్నీ కూడా పర్యాయ పదములు. మనస్సు యొక్క పర్యాయ పదములే.
దేర్ ఆల్ ద సినోనిమ్స్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్.
అంతఃకరణ అనగా ప్రత్యేకంగా లేదు.
దేర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ లైక్ అంతఃకరణ సెపరేట్.
మన కరణములన్నీ బయట కనిపిస్తున్నాయి.
ఆల్ అవర్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ విజువల్
బయట కనిపిస్తుంది.
ద ఐస్ ఆర్ సీన్ అవుట్
సైడ్. బయట విషయాన్ని వింటుంది.
ద ఇయర్ లిసన్స్
ముక్కులు బయట గాలిని పిలుస్తుంది.
ద నాస్ట్రిల్స్ బ్రీత్.
ఇవన్నీ కూడా బహిర్కరణములు.
దేర్ ఆల్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్.
మనసు బుద్ధి చిత్తము అహంకారము అంతఃకరణములు లోపల ఉండేటువంటి పనిముట్లు.
మనసు బుద్ధి చిత్తం అహంకారము దర్ ఇంటర్నల్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్.
కనుకనే దీనికి అంతఃకరణము అని పేరు వచ్చాయి.
ఫర్ దట్ రీజన్ దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ అంతఃకరణ.
అంతఃకరణ త్యాగము చేత బహిర్కరణము మనం అనుభవించినప్పటికీ ఇది ఏ త్యాగంతో చేరినటువంటి భోగమవుతుంది.
బై సాక్రిఫైసింగ్ అంతఃకరణ అండ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఎంజాయింగ్ విత్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్స్ ఇట్ అమౌంట్స్ టు సాక్రిఫైస్ ఆర్ త్యాగ.
It just felt like being in a second semester class and you know, reminded of the concepts which were introduced in the first semester.
Right, exactly. So we say, don't think you can forget them after the examination.
Right. A thing which constantly our teachers would say, no, you don't forget these concepts, it will again come back to you.
Right.
But, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing that way that, you know, when we read Swami's discourses, we say, okay, this is the 1990 series, okay, that's a 76 Bhujagovindam series. But I think in Swami's delivery, he was very clear that that was the basis, this is the next level, and this is more profound.
In fact, you know, I think we mentioned it last time as well, when some of the examples that he was giving in the 1990 series,
mm-hmm.
In the 60s Swami had given, 60s mm-hmm. and 70s, in the same book, Conversations with Sai Baba, by Dr. John Hislop, some of those examples were exactly the same. The same examples he has been giving from the 60s to the 90s.
Absolutely. I mean, some people have really weird, ideas. Mm-hmm. I remember once I had given a talk in our satsang hall here, and after that got into a conversation with one of the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking me something, an elderly person. I was trying to give her an explanation based on what Swami had told in the 60s or 70s, And she, I really could not take it, what she said. She had the audacity to say that, what Swami has told in the 60s is different. Mm-hmm. But towards 90s and 2000, Swami mellowed down a bit and, his understanding was better. I said, come on, what are you talking about? That's really, the example that Swami gave,
mm-hmm.
that it is you who's creating the shadow. Really, that's what it is. Because, if you see it in an unbiased manner, Swami has always been saying the same thing. And same Swami thing. Would say that.
Yes.
I've always been saying the same thing. In 50s, that's what I was telling when you were going through the first discourse which Swami gave, mm-hmm. I think in 1950 or 49 or something, in Karur, Swami gave,
mm-hmm.
pretty much the same concepts.
Right.
He did not say that, this is the initial stages of my avatar, maybe a little more friendly. It's the same power, the same, unforgiving tone, if I could say that sometimes. Because that desperation of somebody who wants to save you, that is something which always echoes in Swami's voice.
Very true, very true, very true. So amazing. In fact, in this part of the discourse, we get a totally new explanation for what yoga is.
Right.
And this yoga kshema bhavyam, we have heard this sloka many times, but the explanation he gives here is absolutely unique.
Really. Going back to that, the root word for yoga,
mm-hmm.
they say it means to yoke.
Okay.
Like when you tie the bullocks to the bullock cart, mm-hmm. it's called you yoking them together. That thing is called the yoke, what you put on the neck.
Mm-hmm.
So they say yoga is yoke, and that's precisely what Swami is explaining here. That which connects your mind to that which is beyond the mind. That which makes that connection. Here you have this, it brings it to the state of experience in the physical world, that which is beyond.
Right.
But, and something very similar to what Swami told in the earlier discourse, when Swami was telling about Tattvamasi.
Right.
That, the
mind.
The mind connects the gross world to that subtle world.
Right. But here also he takes it one step further, where he says yoga is itself the ultimate experience of the union.
Mm-hmm.
He says, to attain the unattainable God is yoga. To envision the indivisible divine is yoga. To bring into daily experience that which cannot be seen by the eyes, heard by the ears, comprehended by the mind, or felt by the heart is yoga. To manifest the unmanifest divinity is yoga. Each is a definition.
I hope people who are celebrating the International Yoga Day read this.
It's not
a form of gymnastics or, the Indian
one week yoga, self-realization assured at the end of 1 week.
When you read this, you understand how small a part that physical yoga plays in this.
Exactly.
Swami would say it's just, this body is that boat which is given to you. You ensure that there are no leaks till you cross the ocean.
Mm.
So the asanas are such a small part in this yoga, because Swami is saying yoga is everything. It is the ultimate experience itself.
Mm. In fact, there is this beautiful book by Swami Paramananda,
mm-hmm.
Titled Silence as Yoga.
Okay.
The silence as yoga, since we are dealing with what yoga is,
mm-hmm.
silence as yoga is a very, it's a small booklet, but the words are really beautiful. And he says, I am the silence of the secrets, I am the wisdom of the wise. That's what the Bhagavad Gita says. So there's a lot about silence. And, connecting it to what Swami is saying after that, it is to silence the mind. It is to silence the mind that, we all are endeavoring to silence the mind. And I was in fact trying to understand the link between what Swami was saying before and how we went on to the Antakarnas, because that's how we connected it to the Antakarnas. And it's really amazing because he says the yoga that you have to do is to silence the mind. So he says the true significance of yoga kshema, as he was explaining here, the attainment of divinity which is beyond the mind and the preservation of that sacred realization. So I think one is the attainment and one is the preservation, yoga kshema. You may attain it for a moment, you may have a flash, but then to retain it in an integrated, constant integrated awareness that Swami brings out is the second part, which is equally important.
And one thing, if you see what Swami is telling, especially the last sentence which Swami made, was so profound. He said, the moment you sublimate the antakarnas, you're automatically living that, that union of Tyaga and Bhoga. You are...
Exactly.
Because Swami is saying that what comes from outside through the bahirkarnas will not lead to Bhoga because you have sublimated your, antakarnas.
Antakarnas.
And going back to what you're saying about silence, I think that's what it is. Well, I was telling you about that short story I wrote. A nice thought comes, you instantly want to put it in paper and you have a desire to share it. And you would do that only if you feel that, this is my work and there are others outside, I would like to share it with them, probably earn some kind of mutual respect or whatever, some appreciation for it. But when you are in that state of real oneness, there would be no need to express. There would be no need for any acknowledgement from outside. There would not be any desire to even share. I think it was Alfred Hitchcock who says, he says, my best movies were never made.
Okay.
He says, my best movies were never made because he has this habit of running his movie before it is made in his mind.
Mind.
He says, some movies gave me so much satisfaction just being in my mind, I never made a movie.
Wow.
that's really an expression of an artist whose best art is, he doesn't need any external agency to come and say that this is good art.
In fact, just thinking of it, just think of a musician, for example, a Hindustani vocal musician. Okay, he's on the stage, he or she, he's on the stage and there is Tanpura going on and there is silence. I mean, he goes deep within himself and he's just waiting for that moment. There is no, hurry. There is no pressure on him. He's just going to start a concert which is going to last for 1 hour or 1.5 hours. But that first note that he has to sing, where does it come from? So when he goes deep within, his entire concentration and focus is only on that Shruti, on the Tanpura. On that Shruti, and when he is completely aligned with that, then he sings the first note. In fact, I think it is one of the very great Indian musicians who sang the Sa, first note of Sa, and then she said that I don't want to sing anymore in this concert. She said for 30 or 40 years I've been doing rigorous sadhana to get to this point today. I have achieved that perfect Sa. So when she sang that perfect Sa, and she said, that's enough. Because I don't think I should sing anymore. I have achieved what has to be achieved. For all the other audience, they might have thought, okay, she has sung so many times. But that concentration. In fact, even in Premavaini, very beautiful, Swami says, ekagrata, that concentration. And that interest as well. So, you want to get that yoga kshema, you want to sublimate your mind, and you want to retain that state. It cannot be an experience, it is a state of being.
That's exactly what Swami says, yoga kshema. He says, first is attaining of that divinity, which is beyond the mind, and then preservation of that sacred realization.
Exactly.
And holding on to it at all times.
Right.
And that's the whole problem, right? You know, flash in the pan realization, I think all of us have.
Yeah, Swami says, as long as you are here with me, you see me, you speak to me, right. You are so happy. The moment you cross the border of Prashant Nilayam Ashram, then your mind is all over the place. So,
right. And then this point, I think, in the 1990 series, Swami made this, you know, there was a huge part in that discourse. Swami spoke about sublimation of the antakarnas.
Mm-hmm.
Where he said purification is not enough. Complete annihilation. Through sublimation is what Maybe will true. Lead to the ultimate state. Where Swami is saying that there is no response from the inside to the input which comes from outside. You know, it just comes and it goes. It otherwise it lodges itself. And this point which Swami says, no, mananatrana sammilitam.
Sammilitam.
That's precisely, you know, Swami is really told it. That's exactly what we do in even interpersonal relationships when you have some problem. Probably one word which is spoken hurtingly or something. We go on running it in our mind. That moment is past, but we build an entire narrative on that, and that animosity keeps growing. Many, many times we can notice it within ourselves. I think one of the cartoons which we put out is like that, you know, last week.
Yes.
Very beautiful.
Right.
Sounds absurd when you see it, you know, who would be like this, but in some level we all do that. This man who is, you know, he has to vacate his house, so he's thinking, let me go and stay with my friend.
Right.
So the whole night he's thinking that what if my friend refuses? Or what if he says that, you know, speaks slightly of me, thinking that you've come to my doorstep seeking. So he thinks of this whole night. So the next morning he goes to his friend. The friend opens the door and very warmly he calls him inside and he says, do you think I'm going to come and ask you that, can I stay in your house? I don't need your help. I don't need anybody else. And he walks off. The friend is wondering what's wrong with him, what happened. It's almost like that constantly we keep rolling a thought. And
see, again, what is it based on? It's based on chitta, which is memory.
Right.
And that is what blocks us. So, you know, this is another definition for when they say God is nitya nutanam.
Right.
Ever new. Because he is not based on a memory. He is not based on your manas, your buddhi. He is there that very instant. So when you see a person, are you able to see him or her with absolute freshness? You know, with absolute, you know, presence in that moment.
Right. Yes. Right. So should we go to the next clip?
Right.
It's about 7 minutes.
కనుక మొట్టమొదటి అంతఃకరణను మనం పరిశుద్ధిగా ఉంచుకోవాలి.
Therefore we should purify అంతఃకరణ.
కనుకనే ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను కర్మాచరణలో మనం కంకణం కట్టుకోవాలి.
Therefore every man should enter into action.
కర్మ లేకుండా చిత్తమునకు శుద్ధి కలగదు.
Without action the mind can never be purified.
కనుకనే వేదమునందు చిత్తస్య శుద్ధయే కర్మః అన్నారు.
Therefore Veda said the action purifies the mind.
కనుక చిత్త శుద్ధి నిమిత్తమై ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను సత్కర్మ ఆచరించాలి.
For the purity of mind everyone should undertake good action.
సత్కర్మ అనగా ఏమిటి?
What do you mean by good action?
ఫలాపేక్ష లేకుండా,
without expecting results,
స్వార్థం అనేటువంటిది ఉండకుండా,
without selfishness,
కర్మలు ఆచరించడమే నిష్కామ కర్మ అన్నారు.
One should undertake actions, it is called నిష్కామ కర్మ.
ఈ నిష్కామ కర్మకే భోగముతో కూడిన త్యాగం అని కూడా పేరు పెట్టారు.
That selfless action amounts to sacrifice while living in affluence.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి భోగముతో కూడినటువంటి త్యాగమును ఈశావాసికోపనిషత్తు అనేక విధంగా బోధిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
This kind of sacrifice while living in poverty is explained in ఈశావాసికోపనిషత్.
కేవలము అకర్ముడు కాకూడదు.
He should not be man of inaction.
కాయము కర్మ నిమిత్తమే ఆవిర్భవించినటువంటిది.
The body is meant for action.
కర్మ కాలమును పవిత్రము గావించేటువంటిది.
యాక్షన్ సాంక్టిఫైస్ టైం.
కాలము ఒక విధమైనటువంటి కర్తవ్యంతో కూడినటువంటిది.
ద టైమ్ హ్యాస్ గాట్ ఎ రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ.
కాలకర్మ కారణ కర్తవ్యం యొక్క జీవితమే మానవుని యొక్క ప్రధానమైనటువంటి లక్ష్యము.
ద మ్యాన్స్ ఎయిమ్ లైజ్ ఇన్ మేకింగ్ ద టైమ్ అండ్ ద బాడీ సేక్రెడ్ అండ్ రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ.
కాలకర్మ కారణ కర్తవ్యంతో కూడినటువంటి మానవత్వాన్ని మనం ఏ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క మార్గంలో ప్రవేశపెడుతున్నాం?
How have we entered into life, the human life, making use of
the body?
All the time we think of selfishness and self-interest.
ఇంకా త్యాగంతో కూడిన భోగం ఏ రీతిగా లభిస్తుంది?
How do we expect sacrifice in the
భోగముతో కూడినటువంటి రోగంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
ఇట్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్స్ ఇంటూ ఏ డిసీజ్.
మానవుడు యోగి కావాలి కానీ భోగి కాకూడదు.
మ్యాన్ షుడ్ బి యోగి బట్ నాట్ ఏ భోగి.
భోగం అనగా ఏమిటి?
వాట్ డూ మీన్ బై భోగ?
కేవలము ఆహార నిద్ర భయం ఐదు నాలుగులతో జీవితం వ్యర్థం కావించుకోవటం ఆ భోగము.
భోగ డస్ నాట్ మీన్ వేస్టింగ్ అవర్ లైఫ్ స్పెండింగ్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్ ఇన్ ఫుడ్ రేమెంట్ అండ్
దేహాన్ని కాపాడుకునే నిమిత్తమే ఆహారం అత్యవసరమే.
వీ నీడ్ ద ఫుడ్ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్ అవర్ బాడీ.
భిక్షాన్నం దేహరక్షార్థం, వస్త్రం శీత నివారణ.
ద బాడీ ఈజ్ నెసెసరీ, ద ఫుడ్ ఈజ్ నెసెసరీ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్ ద బాడీ.
మానవ జీవితం రోగంతోనే కూడి ఉంటున్నది.
ద బాడీ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ డిసీజెస్.
మలమూత్ర దుర్గంధ మాంసరక్తమి గాని పునుగు జవ్వాజీలు పుట్టబోవు.
It is full of the fecal matter and urine, but it doesn't give any kind of
pompa ee dehamu.
It is the body full of that.
Najjadu sevaka gampa ee dehamu. Jata santalanu pondu dumpa ee dehamu.
It permeates life after life.
Karuka bhavasagara meedagaleni kampa ee dehamu.
It doesn't help us to cross the ocean.
Angula padalambu mana meppudalampa ee dehamu. Me nischalamani nammaboku manasa haripadamulu asthayinchavi. ఇది కేవలము కుళ్లిపోయే దుంప వంటిది.
ద బాడీ ఈజ్ బౌండ్ టు డికే లైక్ ఎ ట్యూబా.
కూలిపోయే రకము వంటిది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ షూర్ టు ఫాల్ లైక్ ఎ చారి.
అమ్ముల పదమితంతో చేరినటువంటి కంప వంటిది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్ లైక్ ఎ థార్నీ బుష్.
అయితే దీని యొక్క రోగమును మనం నివారించుకునే నిమిత్తమై ఔషధము సేవించాలి.
టు మేక్ ఇట్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ద డిసీజ్ వీ నీడ్ టు కన్స్యూమ్ మెడిసిన్.
ఏది రోగము, ఏది ఆరోగ్యము?
వాట్ ఈస్ డిసీజ్, వాట్ ఈస్ హెల్త్?
అన్ని రోగములే.
Everything is a disease.
Aakali okka rogamu.
Hunger is a disease.
Annam okka aushadam.
Food is the medicine.
Dahamu okka rogamu.
Thirst is disease.
Daniki neeru okka aushadam.
Taking water is healing.
Ivanni kudunu okkokka rogamulaku okkokka aushadanni sevisthu untunnam.
Thus for every disease we take medicine accordingly.
Aanandam kavalani koreetundi okka rogamu.
To desire for pleasure is a disease.
Aanandaniki karyacharana aushadam.
To have this pleasure, one should enter into action.
Anandam kavalani aashistu daniki taginatundi krishini manam cheyakapoyinappudu aanandam ee reetiga labhyam avutundi.
While expecting pleasure, when we don't enter into action,
aanandam tana swaroopame ainappatikini dani anubhavinchadaniki manavuni yokka prayatnam kudano athyavasaramu.
Though you are the very form of the pleasure, you need to undertake an effort to realize that fact.
Tattalo potato chapati pettukoni potato chapati potato chapati potato chapati ani 100 paryayam cheppinappatikini mana potta nindadu.
When potato and chapati are contained in the plate, by repeating the name of potato and chapati, you can
satisfy.
To satisfy the hunger, you should give someone work
with the hand.
You should do action with
the hand.
You should also repeat Lord's name with the tongue.
ఈ రెండింటి యొక్క పరిశ్రమల ద్వారానే మనకు ఆనందం అనేటువంటిది మనకు ప్రాప్తిస్తుంది.
By entering into action these two things, then only you will have pleasure.
కనుక మానవునికి రోగం కానటువంటిది ఈ జగత్తులో ఒక్కటి కూడాను లేదు.
దేర్ నథింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ విచ్ డజన్ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ డిజీజ్.
కానీ దానిని మనం యోగముగా మార్చుకోవడానికి తగినటువంటి కృషి చేయాలి.
బట్ వీ షుడ్ మేక్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు కన్వర్ట్ ఇన్ టు యోగా.
కనుకనే దీనికి శాస్త్రంలో మీకును ఒక పర్యాయం భుజించినటువంటి వాడు యోగి అన్నారు.
ఫర్ దిస్ రీజన్ శాస్త్ర హస్ డిక్లేర్డ్ ద వన్ హూ పార్టేక్స్ ఫుడ్
రెండు పర్యాయములు భుజించినటువంటి వాడు భోగి అన్నారు.
ఇఫ్ హీ డైన్స్ ట్వైస్ హీస్ భోగి.
మూడు పర్యాయములు భుజించినటువంటి వాడు రోగి అన్నారు.
ఇఫ్ ఈచ్ థ్రైస్ హీస్ రోగి డిసీజ్డ్ వన్.
నాలుగు పర్యాయములు భుజించినటువంటి వాడు బ్రతికి చచ్చిన వాడితో సమానం ఉన్నారు. లివింగ్ డెత్ అన్నారు.
ఇఫ్ ఈచ్ ఫోర్ టైమ్స్ ఇట్ అమౌంట్స్ టు లివింగ్ డెత్.
కనుక నిరంతరము కూడాను మనం పొట్ట నింపుకునే నిమిత్తమై మనం ప్రాతులాడుతున్నామే కానీ
ఆల్ ద టైమ్ వీ స్పెండ్ టు ఫిల్ అవర్ బెల్లీ.
జీవితాన్ని సుఖశాంతులతో దివ్యమైన మార్గంలో ఆదర్శవంతమైన జీవితాన్ని అందించడానికి మనం కృషి చేయటం లేదు.
వీ ఆర్ నాట్ మేకింగ్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు డెమోన్స్ట్రేట్ టు ద వరల్డ్ ఐడియలిజం ద లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ లెజర్ అండ్ పీస్.
సో దట్ వాస్ ద నెక్స్ట్ క్లిప్. వి స్టార్ట్ విత్ ద రియలైజేషన్ వీఆర్ ఆల్ రోగీస్. మెనీ టైమ్స్ యూ హెర్డ్ దిస్ ఫ్రమ్ స్వామి దట్ వన్ హూ ఈట్స్ once a day is a yogi, twice a day is a bhogi, and thrice a day is a rogi, and four times a day is equivalent to living death. My God.
I think you should think of it in the fourth meal of the day.
My God.
And, you know, see, again, as you rightly said, it's all connected. You can't say that, okay, I have crossed the chapter on the body, now let me go this aspect of karma is so important. Action is so important to go beyond, to experience that bliss. He says, although you are the embodiment of bliss, in order to experience that bliss, you have to act.
Right. And so beautifully connected from the previous clip, you know, where the previous clip, Swami says the whole problem is that chitta, you know, stores memories, then this mind keeps rolling it over the mind, that manana happens, and then you have this ahankara which steps in, which says this akara is aham,
as
Swami says. So that when it steps in, it starts qualifying the thoughts as hurtful thoughts, and this is pleasant thoughts, this person has been good to me, this person has been bad to me, and the buddhi gets clouded accordingly, you know, what it suggests as actions to do, everything changes. So Swami is saying, the first thing what you do is, you know, chitta shuddhi is required. In this clip then Swami says, that chitta shuddhi is attained by doing karma.
Mm.
So Swami makes that statement, chittasya shuddhi karma.
Karma.
The role of karma is to ensure that the chitta is finally purified. And then Swami says, what kind of karma it has to be so that the mind gets purified? Again comes to nishkama karma. That is, you start doing action without craving for the pleasure after the action.
For the result of the action.
Result of the action.
I mean, here these two points which Swami says, without an eye on the results and without selfish intent. I mean, swartham, when Swami says selfish intent, you know, just looking at it from another point of view, the moment you have a selfish intention, there is duality. So you do anything that you think is good for me as a separate identity. I want to grow, so I will do this action. I want to have power, I want to get money, so I will do this action. So automatically it's in a state of duality. And so he says two aspects, that is, without an eye for the results and without a selfish intent. If we do such actions, those actions will lead to purity of mind.
Very true. In fact, if you have to sum up that statement of Swami in one word, it is dharma. What is your responsibility towards the society, towards the family, and towards the world at large, the nature at large? That is precisely what defines Indian culture itself when you look at it, no? When you talk about rights and responsibilities, that heavy emphasis on your responsibility more than your rights.
Correct.
And if you're saying that do action without selfish intent, without looking at the results, it only means do it like you're supposed to do it. That is what you're supposed to do. It's your responsibility. You do it. What comes is a bonus. If you get reward, it's a bonus. If you don't get reward, it was not meant to come anyway. Mm. You're not meant to do it for that. That emphasis on responsibility over rights, I think that defines Indian culture in some way or the other.
See, the whole thing is, what is the motivation for action?
Right.
Like suppose, you know, I know that I'm going to, if I eat an ice cream in this beautifully hot weather, I'm going to get relief. So the motivation for me to eat the ice cream is the result of cooling my system down. And, you know, so before we do every action, what is the motivation for that action? So here Swami says, the only motivation worth having is ananda. That is bliss. And if you want that bliss, you should give up expecting any results from that action. It's quite complicated, but...
But I mean, this very concept of you should do action without desiring for the fruits, I mean, it's very unique. It's really unique. And of course, since we've heard it so many times from Swami and read it in other spiritual literature, probably it... But I think for an uninitiated person, a Western person who is not used to this philosophy, I think it sometimes comes as a, you know, breath of fresh air.
No, in fact, one of the students, he was telling me, yes, I've heard many discourses, but one point which stuck in my mind, he says, Swami was mentioning in one of the discourses, karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. He says, Swami asked the question, why did Krishna say ma phaleshu kadachana? He should have just said na phaleshu kadachana. Then Swami says, that is because Ma means you should not identify yourself with the fruits of the action.
Right. In fact, Swami explains this. I don't know if a translator made the mistake when he was translating Swami's discourse, or it's a commentary which Swami was referring to, where generally it's translated as you have no rights over the fruits of your action. So Swami would correct that. Swami said, no, it's not like that. You have every right. You have done the action. You have every right over the fruits. That's why it said mahaphaleshu, that willfully you give it up.
Right.
And Swami said, that's why it's tyaga. You know, it's not right to not expect.
Not expect an escape from, you cannot, it's bound to come back.
You willfully give it up. You do, and that's why in the next paragraph you're Swami saying, no, it does not mean that you get into inaction.
Right. That's very important.
Yeah, no inaction. You have to do action, but no attachment to the results. Such action has to be done.
Yeah, in fact, in that one of those talks by Swami Sarvapriyananda, he beautifully says when he joined the monastic order, the seniors said, enough, you have sat for 1 week. Just sitting and not even 1 week, maybe a day or two. He said, you are eating the food that is given by society. Better get to work. Yeah, you may be a renunciant. You want to pursue spiritual life, but you cannot escape action.
Right.
You have to act. You have to work. You have to do your this thing, bit of work. So he says, don't think that we just eat and then don't do anything. So inaction is not the solution. Action completely involved, aiming for perfection. Action has to be done, with complete involvement, aiming for that perfection. At the same time, as you rightly said, willfully give up that fruit of action and offer it to the Lord.
Right. And of course, then Swami goes on to this part where the body, I think we'll definitely need more time to go into that. We're running out of time today. Swami speaks about hunger and thirst and all of it as disease. And I mean, it's so beautiful because when Swami speaks of hunger, he says, hunger is the disease, food is the medicine, thirst is the disease, water is the medicine. Then Swami comes to craving for pleasure is the disease. But probably we see indulgence as the medicine. And Swami is saying it's not so. Action is the medicine. What kind of action? Again, going back to Nishkama Karma. And of course, I think even if we spend 1 hour on one sentence of Swami's
discourse,
I think it's not enough because it's really so profound. But grateful to Swami that we have this opportunity to go through these discourses in such details. Dear listeners, if not for this program and if not for all of you listening and keeping us on our toes, probably we wouldn't be going through Swami's discourse in such detail. So gratitude to Swami and to the Swami in each one of you. We dedicate this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. Thank you for being with us. Join us again next week in the next episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam.